Our Old Testament lesson today from Isaiah is set in a time of crisis amongst the kingdoms of Judah, Israel, and Aram. The year is 733 BC. All three kingdoms are under threat of being taken over by the much stronger and larger Assyria. Ahaz, the king of Judah, is afraid of Assyria and uncertain whether to join it or fight it. At the same time, Israel and Aram have created an alliance, and they attacked Jerusalem and Judah to try to take it over to avoid being dominated by Assyria. This attack has further frightened Ahaz, as well as all of the people of Judah. Before our passage starts, God sends Isaiah the prophet to go speak to Ahaz to reassure him that Judah would stand against the threat and the house of David would remain. God has told Ahaz that if you do not stand firm in faith, you shall not stand at all. He has assured him that while Aram and Israel will only be left with a remnant, Judah will remain. Ahaz, though, still doubts God. So God further offers that Ahaz can request any sign from God that he wants to gain his assurance. Ahaz is still fearful and refuses God's offer. This additional effort on God's part, however, shows us an Old Testament God of grace and a God of second chances. God sees that Ahaz is tempted to trust Assyria. Finally, after ignoring Ahaz's refusal of a sign, God gives him a sign anyway. And he informs him that within the next 2 to 3 years, after the birth of a child named Emmanuel to a young woman, the threatening kingdoms will be reduced to a remnant. Therefore, it is the others who should be fearful and not Ahaz. The Davidic line will remain intact. While the sign for Ahaz was applicable to that time, it also was the foreshadowing of Jesus as used in the Gospels. God's plans are always greater than our own. He unexpectedly gave Ahaz a second chance to stop fearing defeat and to trust in the Lord, even after already providing him 2 assurances of success. When we move forward 300 years from God saving the kingdom of Judah, we find ourselves in the time of the Persian Empire. Here we see God working through the unexpected form of a young woman who becomes a queen. This is the story found in the book of Esther. When the king of Persia was looking for a new queen, he asked that all the fair young women of the kingdom come to the palace. Mordecai, a Jew who served in the palace, brought his niece Esther. She was beautiful, and the king loved Esther above all the women. She became his new queen. The king placed a man named Haman over all the princes in his kingdom and ordered all the servants to bow before Haman. Mordecai refused to bow. This angered Haman, and when he discovered that Mordecai was a Jew, he decided to destroy all of the Jews. Mordecai and the king were both unaware that Queen Esther herself was Jewish. Haman told the king that there was a people in his land who would not obey the laws and who therefore should be destroyed. The king agreed and offered a reward to those who would kill the Jews. Esther and Mordecai realized that to save their people, Esther would have to go before the king and plead for them. This was a dangerous thing to do because no one could go before the king without permission. Esther asked that her people fast and pray for 3 days for her. The fasting and prayers of her people gave the queen the courage to do what she needed to do. When she told the king of the wickedness of Haman, the king had him destroyed instead of Esther and her people, therefore giving the Jewish people yet another second chance. So now we go another 300 years forward, and this is between the time of the ending of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament writings. We see God preserving the Jewish nation yet another time. This is celebrated with Hanukkah, which is beginning this evening at sundown, and it's going to run for the next 8 days. Hanukkah is a celebration that resulted from God providing 2 unexpected miracles. About 165 years before the birth of Christ, a remnant of the army of Alexander the Great had come to dominate the Jews then, living in their own land. In an effort to consolidate his power and to impose a cultural uniformity on his subjects, the Syrian Greek rule emperor, Antiochus IV, insisted that the Jews worship him as The rest of his subjects did, and demanded that a statue of himself be raised in the temple. Antiochus was brutal and required cruel death penalties against any person and their families who did not follow his rules and if they practiced Jewish traditions. God used an unexpected means to deliver the Jewish people from certain annihilation as an ethnic group. A family of priests known as the Hasmoneans, which also became to be called the Maccabees, which was a word meaning hammer, rebelled against Antiochus. With only faith in God to deliver them, this small group created a guerrilla band that fought valiantly against an army that far outnumbered and outpowered them in all ways. By the grace of God, the Maccabees beat the Syrian Greek army and drove them out of the region. When the Jewish people went to reclaim the temple, they found it completely desecrated and in poor condition. They immediately went about the task of removing all the idols and purifying the temple. It was important for them to rededicate the temple and get on with celebrating Sukkot. This was an 8-day holiday that they had to postpone due to the oppression they were living through at the time of the war. Sukkot was a celebration that commemorated not only the wandering of the Jews in the desert in makeshift huts, but at the end of that trek, it was the dedication of the first temple. It traditionally lasted 8 days and came to be known as Hanukkah after the second dedication. The word Hanukkah itself means dedication. Hanukkah is also known as the Feast of Lights and the Feast of Dedication. In John 10:22, it mentions that Jesus was at the temple during the Feast of Dedication. Unfortunately for the people, when the temple was finally prepared, there was only enough lamp oil to last 1 day and not the entire 8 days of Sukkot. Once again, God provided the unexpected and took that 1 day of oil and made it last through the entire 8 days. It was after this miracle that Judah, the Maccabee leader, declared Hanukkah to be a holiday to be celebrated each year in remembrance of the rededication of the temple that occurred only because God delivered the Jewish nation out of certain annihilation. Without God's miracle of preserving that Jewish nation, Jesus would never have been born on Christmas Day as the Savior of all nations. Now, we're all very familiar with stories of how God has provided other great unexpected miracles. Some of these have come in the form of babies. Although Abraham and Sarah were well past the age of becoming first-time parents together, God blessed them with the birth of Isaac in fulfillment of his covenant to make him a great nation. Zechariah and Elizabeth were both getting on in years when the angel Gabriel appeared to Zechariah and declared that his wife Elizabeth would conceive a son. That son would be John the Baptist, who would prepare the people of Israel for the coming Messiah. Finally, while Elizabeth is still pregnant, Mary receives the shockingly unexpected news from Gabriel that while a virgin, she will become pregnant. Not only will she be pregnant, her child will be the Son of God. And finally, there's one of my favorite stories is the encouraging and convicting story of God providing second chances in unexpected ways in the conversion of Saul to Paul on the road to Damascus. Saul's first mentioned at the end of Acts chapter 7, when Saul witnessed and approved the stoning death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. The beginning of chapter 8 starts with the following passages. That day, a severe persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church by entering house after house, dragging off both men and women. He committed them to prison. In Acts chapter 9, we read about the conversion of Saul. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. After this, the Lord said about Saul, "He is an instrument who I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel." God choosing Saul to be the apostle to the Gentiles was initially an unexpected and worrisome surprise to the followers of Jesus at the time. But if God can give a person like Saul a second chance, you can be confident that we're all worthy of his grace. When you hear these stories of second chances, do you relate to any of the people of the Bible? Are you feeling oppressed at times like the Jewish people so often did? Are you looking for something to turn your life around from its current problems? Do you relate too much to Saul and feel you're unworthy of God's grace? Rest assured, God is prepared to work in your life in unexpected and wonderful ways as well. These stories from the Bible should provide sound assurance that nothing is too great for God. God sent us Jesus as the Messiah. With Jesus' death on the cross, all of our sins have been forgiven, and we are worthy to approach the throne of God. Are you looking for a second chance? Do you think that it's too late for you to make that step towards forgiveness and receive God's grace in unexpected ways? A popular saying is, "Let go and let God." This is a simple but powerful saying. If you just turn over your guilt, your worry, or your shame to God, you will receive the peace needed to move forward and see the unexpected ways God will work in your life. When we turn over these things, as well as any anger, frustrations, or disappointment to God, then God is there to give us peace. Jesus came and died for the forgiveness of our sins already, so give yourself a second chance. God already has. Reach out and accept the grace and peace which goes beyond understanding. Look to see how God will work in amazing and surprising ways in your life. Thanks be to God.